With God's help, I pray to the Almighty that He may bestow upon me His wisdom and allow me to convey His knowledge, the truth of the Torah, and that it should be understood, comprehended by all, and in so doing we should be able to sanctify God's name and help complete the name of God, which is Shalom, peace, and eventually the name of God and His truth should be throughout the world accepted and practiced. Amen. I first would like to thank the Islamic Human Rights Commission and NIDA, the organization NIDA, for inviting us here. They've given me this great honor and privilege to sanctify God's name. And God bless, they should be successful in all their good endeavors. And I'm thanking all of you for coming and taking the bother to come here to listen to us, even though there are people here from the Muslim faith, there are Arabs, there are people from different parts of the world who may be so upset with what has been going on, what has happened to their people from, unfortunately, my wayward brethren, that they should have the heart, the will to come and listen is something which is above and beyond the usual compassion of a person. We're very thankful for that. The issue today which we're presenting with God's help is the difference between Judaism and Zionism. The world equates the two. They consider it one and the same. Judaism is Zionism. There's a state of Israel, the Zionist state, the Jewish state. Usually, in the view of the world, it is one and the same. And that's a fact. It's almost it's in cement a fact. In truth, Judaism and Zionism are diametric opposites. Judaism is a spirituality practiced by the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for thousands of years. And Zionism is a movement that is merely around 100 years old, created by non-practicing Jews, Theodor Herzl, people who abhorred the religion. They left the religion proudly, and they wanted to transform this Judaism from a religion, from this godliness into a godlessness, into a materialistic entity, a goal for nationalism, for materialism, totally void, devoid of godliness. Of course, in every materialism, in every issue, you need to do things and make compromises for practical purposes. Zionism may allow the practice up to a point or whatever is convenient for them of Judaism or practice of Islam or Christianity in their land. But in essence, Zionism is godless. It is totally a blasphemous, it is a rebellion against godliness, and its goal, as I say, is to uproot godliness from the Jewish people, to totally change their goals, their aspirations, and what a Jew is. The issue of why it is what we're going to try to bring about here, and first maybe I could say why it's so important to understand the difference between Judaism and Zionism, why it's so important to listen to what I have to say, even though I'm not that well of a gifted speaker. We say that Moses, the rabbis, is a common saying amongst the teachings of Judaism, that Moses was, it says in the Torah, kavad peh v'kavad lashon. He wasn't able to speak. He had an impediment in his speaking. And God especially wanted it that way, that people shouldn't say that he was this terrific speaker who was able with his glib tongue to sell a bag of goods to people, then it wasn't the truth. God wanted that people should understand that it is totally truth what he's selling, and it's because the issue that he's selling, he's still giving over to the Jewish people and to the world. That is why it should be why it was accepted, not because of the power of the speaker. I am humbly, I'm not worthy of speaking of these great issues of sanctifying God's name, but it is so important that that, as I say, be patient and try to comprehend, and because this is the truth that we're trying to say, and we'll clearly see with God's help why it is the truth, that is so clearly the truth. I'm going to mention in short 7 little points why it is important to understand the difference between Judaism and Zionism. First, as I say, to sanctify God's name, because everything that is being done through the Zionists is in the name of God, and this is totally false. Secondly, we want to repair and reconcile the Jewish people with the Muslim people, with the Arab people from throughout the world. We've been living for over a thousand years, we've been living together, and a tremendous rift has been driven between the Jews and the Arabs, the Muslims. And that is a tragedy. God's name is peace. We want, with God's help, if we'll be able to correct this misnomer, that people should understand that if you look at a Jew, that doesn't mean he's a Zionist. Judaism is not Zionism. This will, with God's help to begin this repair, this reconciliation between Jews and Arabs, and again, Muslims, depending where, like you have the Iranian people are Muslims, they're not Arabs, and there's, you know, the Arabs who are not Muslims. The third thing is the bloodshed that has been caused by this movement called Zionism. It's now over 100 years that the Zionists started a movement up to Palestine, and they've caused this tremendous, endless river of bloodshed. They are the root cause of all this bloodshed, and we'll try to show you that with God's help. So we want to, with God's help, try to stop that. We want to stop the demonization of the Muslim people, of the Arabs. When you come to the Western civilization, they don't know, they're not so well acquainted with the Muslim society. And in their eyes, they're people, people who have, they don't know how to deal with them if they could coexist. They call it Judeo-Christian here in the Western society. So they look at people who have lived together with them, who have coexisted. They look at the Jewish people, and if they would really look at the Jewish people and hear the truth from the Jewish people who are practicing Judaism, who are telling the truth of history, the real history, then they would know that we've had the best coexistence together in the Arab lands. They were the most hospitable to the Jewish people, the Arab lands, the Muslim lands. They were a safe haven for us throughout the history. And with that, before there were any human rights groups, before there was anybody to stop them from slaughtering all the Jews, they wouldn't have had to answer to anybody. And still and all, we lived amongst them. So it will become obvious that there's no religious conflict here. That is, so when the people in the Western civilization will understand and comprehend that something is wrong, what they're being told, that they will never, that the Muslim people were people who were like barbarians, they were people who you couldn't coexist with, they'll understand that this is again another propaganda issue that's totally false. And this we have to clarify and dig up the truth and reveal the truth and open the people's eyes that they should be able to want to understand and realize that they're being sold a false history. There's the issue of anti-Semitism. If somebody speaks up against Zionism, they're being accused of being anti-Semitic. And that's very clear, because you're against Jews, you're against Judaism, you're against the Jewish state, and so forth. That's, again, important to differentiate between Judaism and Zionism. And it will be very clear to you, with God's help, that there is a tremendous difference, and you'll be strong. You'll be able to have courage and be strong once you understand the difference, that you won't be intimidated to be able to speak up against the atrocities and everything that is being committed by this Zionist state, by the state of Israel, and understand and not be fearful of being accused of being anti-Semitic. And then, of course, maybe with God's help, once a doctor, when you go to a doctor, and if he's not a good doctor, he just prescribes for you some painkillers when you're sick, God forbid, That's not the solution. Eventually, it wears off the painkillers, and it doesn't help. He has to get to the root of the sickness, and he can only do that if he knows what the sickness is. If we know what the root cause of this tremendous animosity and bloodshed, and the suffering that is going on in Palestine, if we know the root cause, then we can find a solution. So we must understand what is going on here. And finally, because God is emes, God is truth, that in of itself, to know the truth, is part of being godly and was required of us. So that's a lot of things to do in such a short period of time. I'm going to just try, with God's help, to touch on the subjects. Judaism, as I said, is thousands of years old. It's a spirituality. God made a bond with the Jewish people that we have to serve Him. Mahu racham afatate racham. Just, we have to emulate God. Just as God is compassionate, we have to be compassionate. He gave Moses the Torah on Mount Sinai, and He made a bond and required of us to follow all the commandments in the Torah. And in so doing, we will be holy. And in so doing, also He promised us the land of Israel, which it says in the five books of Moses. If we will be worthy, then we'll be able to practice this religion in the land of Israel. He warned us, God warned us in the Bible many times that it is a holy land, and we have to be on a special elevation of holiness in order to be able to stay in the land of Israel. And the Torah warns us many times that v'rosokia eretz eschem b'tamachem, also, if you will sin against God, if you desecrate the land, then the land itself will reject you, will regurgitate you. So we were warned many times that we have to be very careful to be on this high elevation. If not, the land itself will reject us. It says, as the land has done to the Canaanites who sinned before you, who were not pure and committed impurities in the land, and they were sent out. In fact, it's interesting to note that the Jews didn't want to go. They were very reluctant to go into the land, as everybody who studies the Bible knows. They weren't militant and just interested in coming in and becoming a national, to take over a nation and to take over a land. It was totally against what they wanted. In fact, they were punished because when God said we had to go in, then we had to go in. It wasn't because they were militant or wanted such a thing. They weren't aggressive. But they were forced to go in. They were punished for not wanting to go in because at that time it was God's will. Did they go in with military might? It happens to be clear, if anybody again studies the book of Joshua, the prophets, that God made a miracle. They circled the walls of Jericho and the walls sunk in. And it was a miraculous happening. It was God's will. Let's see if the Zionists, with all the military might, can walk around the wall and the wall will sink in. I mean, without the caterpillars I'm talking about. If they can do that. Because it was God's will. The caterpillars isn't God's will. So we see that it's a whole issue of spirituality, not what the Zionists are trying to misconstrue. Eventually, if you look at the books of the prophets, you will find very clearly in all the books of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, wherever you look, I mean, it's very clear in the books of the prophets that the Jews were warned continually that they're going to be expelled from the land. Eventually, unfortunately, the Jews were expelled from the land by God. So it wasn't because we weren't on that high elevation of spirituality. So it wasn't because we were physically weak. You study the books of the prophets, just read them, read the five books of Moses, you'll see that when it wasn't the proper time for them to win a war, they lost. And they started studying their deeds, and it was because they were sinning or they had done something wrong. When it was time for them to win a war, then they miraculously won it. Maccabees. The Maccabees are used by the Israelis always as their symbol of might, a few against many. Let us understand what the Maccabees were. The Maccabees were in the time when it was really after the Greeks took over the land, after the Jews were in the land, and after the Greeks took over the land, and they were in control, and they gave a decree that that the Jews are forbidden to practice to sanctify the Sabbath, or to do circumcisions, with punishable by death. Now, we have a rule that we have to be loyal to every country in where we're residing. The Jews accepted that. But when we, but if it's a, that we're commanded to do something against God's commands, then God is the King of Kings, and then we have to give our lives for that. So the Jews obeyed the Greeks when they were ruling the land, except when they said, "You, if it has to do with taxation, or just." Or other issues of being loyal to the kingdom, we're loyal to you. But if you want to stop us from practicing the Sabbath or circumcision, from practicing Judaism, then you are nothing more comparable to a dog or something. That's what Daniel said. Daniel said that, and if you look in Daniel, he says, "In Manasim Darmunius, if you're coming for taxation, Malkaat, you are a king." But if it has to do with issues of serving God, then we're ready to give our lives. And what happened? The children of the high priest, five of the children, went out with shields, and on the shields, in those days they didn't have tanks and phantom fighters, they had swords and shields. They went out in the shields, and they wrote on the shields, "Mi kamocha be'eram Hashem," who in the world is as strong as you, God. Mi kamocha be'eram Hashem, for those are four words. The first four letters of the word is man, me, kamocha is chaf, beis, ba'elim, as in the strong ones, Hashem, who is this, like you in the strong people, God. Hashem is starts with a yud, and that's Maccabi. And they went out and they held war against thousands and thousands of people. And I'm asking you, let's just say the strongest person we can think of in all the generations, is it possible for five people with swords to fight against thousands of people? Is it humanly possible? It's impossible. Eventually, they'll be killed. Somebody will throw a big rock in their head and they'll kill them. It's just not possible. It was a miraculous happening. Why? Because they were holy people and they were coming to defend the godliness, and God therefore took up the fight. Now, the Zionists, of course, misconstrue the whole issue. They make it like it was this few against many, the few Zionists against the many Arabs. But I just want you to start understanding how they're totally misconstruing history. It was impossible physically. They didn't have to go to America, the Maccabees, to ask for phantom fighters. And if they would have gone for phantom fighters, it wouldn't have helped them either. They couldn't probably get fuel in those days for phantom fighters, I gather. But whatever it was, that wasn't the issue. The issue was spirituality, spirituality, and spirituality. But when the time came that we were sent into exile, we went into exile. And exile was commanded by God, and the Jews accepted it. Just as a father banishes a child, when a child is born, he puts the child in the corner, and he says, "You have to stay there for 10 minutes. And if this child picks himself up and he says, "You know what, I'm a good kid, I love you, Dad, and I'm going to leave the corner, I'm coming right back to you right now." The whole morning, he spilled out his breakfast, he did everything wrong, he pinched his kid sister, he did everything wrong, the father puts him in the corner, and then after 2 minutes he decides that he's a good boy, and he loves his dad, he's going to come out of the corner. Is that kid doing what's proper? His father's going to be happy with that? Of course not. He says, "You stand in the corner for 10 minutes. God banished the Jewish people from staying as a nation in the land of Israel. And we as Jews who believe in God, it's a bitter medicine, but we accepted that. And that is what we did for thousands of years. It says in the merit, b'schus matrinusa, in the merit of patience, we will be taken out of exile. That is the whole, our merit to be taken out of exile is the patience, accepting that God has more compassion than we have for our children. God feels our suffering. God feels the suffering of every human being. And he sent us into exile, not because we were physically inept. It had nothing to do with that. We were spiritually inept, and therefore we were lacking spiritually, and God sent us into exile. What is the solution if you are spiritually lacking? To become better spiritually, and spirituality, you can't shoot yourself out of a spiritual problem. God, in his metaphysical and his spirituality, he can take us out of exile. And that is what Judaism is. Judaism is, we as Jewish people believe in one thing. We have to practice Judaism, the commandments of the Torah. We are forbidden to try to leave exile. We have to be loyal citizens. This is a command of God. We were dispersed when the time of exile came and the destruction of the temple. We were dispersed throughout the world, and we were commanded by God that we have to be loyal citizens in every country. He put us under three oaths. King Solomon, it's a prophecy from King Solomon in Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs. the Book of King Solomon, and it's explained in the Talmud that God put us under three oaths not to return en masse to the land of Israel, not to rebel against any nation. We have to be royal citizens in every country where we exist, where we're residing, and not to make any attempts to try to leave exile, any manner whatsoever. And the Jews accepted this. It made sense to them. They understood there's a God. He's the one who sent us into exile. He could take us out. What do we hope for? What does that mean? Many people ask me, what does that mean, leaving exile? Leaving exile doesn't mean that we'll take some guns up here and we'll leave exile. Maybe we'll decide the time is right. And they say to me, maybe, okay, the Zionists you don't agree with, but tomorrow you'll decide to leave exile. It doesn't work that way. We pray for the day, and we say this in our high holiday prayers. Many prayer books is translated into English and other languages. Anybody can see it. Every Jewish person universally says this. It is Rosh Hashanah prayers, and we say it in every day of all our prayers. We say different verses that are similar. We say, we also call them Aguda Echos Rasas Ritzayim Chabalev Shoram. They should make all the nations, everybody should make one bonding together everybody, to do the will of God. We yearn and we aspire and we crave one thing: the day when God's glory will be revealed throughout the world, where God will make a metaphysical change in the world. It's hard for us to comprehend this in this world that we're living in, but there will come a day, and it could happen today, that God will make a metaphysical change in the world where all humanity will recognize the one God. And then all the nations together will go up and serve God. That is what we aspire for, not for a piece of land, to have a Maccabees, to have an Olympic team that wins a gold medal. This has nothing to do with godliness. On the contrary, that's materialism. This is not what Judaism is about. We don't aspire for this, and this is not what we're going to say. It didn't happen today, but maybe tomorrow will happen. What will happen tomorrow, either short term or long term, is the day when God, without a human intervention, will bring an end of this concept of exile, not only of the Jews, of humanity, where we will all go up and serve God. Anything to do with trying to leave exile is strange, is contrary to the whole Jewish concept, and it defeats the purpose of what exile is about, why God sent us into exile. You're saying that God, you're taking God out of the equation, as if God is, God forbid, not capable of protecting his people. That's ridiculous. He's giving you to breathe, every human being. How could it be that he can't protect you? It's just total, as I say, the contradiction of Judaism. So this is the Jewish belief, and many times Jews went through the Spanish Inquisition, many, many different trials and tribulations, and sometimes his response is in our books, in Maimonides, in the Rive, in many, many different books, that they asked the rabbis, maybe we should buy a piece of land, not Palestine, any place. And the rabbis said, patience. God feels everybody's pain. It's forbidden to do. Patience. Practice Judaism, and we'll merit, with God's help, by serving God, to be redeemed. That is the work of a Jew. So God, who's perfect, had two issues of spreading us throughout the world. He could have banished us to one place in the world. He wanted to spread out through the world. Rabbi Shamshur Feuerhirsch, the leader of German Jewry, known as the leader of modern Jewry. People think that if he's modern Jew, then he was a Zionist. On the contrary, I mean, he was before the Zionism. And he, maybe I'll just, well, being I'm told I have only 10 minutes to go, so I'm not going to quote him so much, but he quoted very clearly. Let me just, one paragraph. He says, "We mourn over the sin which brought about the destruction of the temple. We take to heart the harshness which we have encountered in our years of wandering as the chastisement of the Father imposed on us for our improvement. We mourn the lack of observance of the Torah which that ruin has brought about. Not in order to shine as a nation among nations do we raise our prayers and hopes for a union in our land, but in order to find a soul for the better fulfillment of our spiritual vocation." But this very obligation, I'm leaving out different things because the time doesn't allow it, but first of all, you can see it on our site, www.nkusa.org. There's a book called Exile and Redemption, The Torah Approach. We have the universal views of all the rabbis, and you'll find these quotes. He said, "But this very vocation obliges us to God to live and work as patriots, wherever he has placed us, to collect all the physical, material, and spiritual forces, and that is noble in Israel, to further the will of the nations which has given us shelter. It obliges us further to allow our longing for the far-off land to express itself only in mourning, in wishing and hoping, and only through the honest fulfillment of all Jewish duties to await the realization of this hope. But it forbids us to strive for the reunion or possession of the land by any but spiritual means. Our sages say, God imposed three vows when he sent Israel into the wilderness. One, that the children of Israel should never seek to reestablish their nation by themselves. Second, they never be disloyal to the nations which have given them shelter. And three, that these nations shall not oppress them excessively. He goes on and on. There's time will not allow me to get into that. Again, you have the from Reb Shamshon Dovber of Lubavitch. He said, behold, even if these men, the Zionists, were to be perfect with God and his Torah, and even would it be possible to conceive of them achieving their goal, we must not, in other words, to gain the land, we must not listen to them, to redeem ourselves with our own strength. Are we not forbidden to force the end by excessive prayer? In other words, even to pray too much for the end is improper. And certainly by force and physical means. In other words, we are forbidden to leave exile by force. Rabbi the Brisker of Lithuania, again, all these are, again, we'll have to leave that, all these issues, because I just want to touch on a few other points. We believe a very important issue that every human being is here to serve God, and every human being will inherit the world to come, not only Jews. That's not a concept that's accepted by Judaism, that you have to be Jewish to serve God. On the contrary, we made a bond that we had 613 commandments, that we made this bond to be a nation of priests, in order to be a light unto the nations by practicing, by emulating God. But every human being has to serve God and can emulate God and can be a light unto the nations. In other words, this whole concept of thinking that we as Jews have some type of, that only we have the God, that's totally false. And it says that in the Elijah the prophet, it says it in Maimonides, our law books, all of them say that every human being is here to serve God and must accept that God gave the Torah to Moses and required every person not to kill, not to steal, not to commit adultery, idol worshipry. So that's just an issue. When I say we have to be loyal citizens, understand many people ask me this question, so I wanted to bring this up. Zionism is something which came along around 100 years ago, and they said, look, there was a Dreyfus trial, somebody was accused of being a spy, of espionage, and they said, look, what's the use? We're constantly being accused of this anti-Semitism throughout the world is rampant. That's what Theodore Herzl came. He said, he completely took God out of the equation. He said, we must look at a solution for ourselves. What is the solution? It must have been we were physically weak. And the solution is to take, he didn't recognize God at all. That had to do with God. We're physically weak. Let's just take a piece of land. He wanted to go to Uganda, as people know, and he decided to make the land there. But it wouldn't be practical because nobody would listen to him. Nobody would follow him. So therefore, they decided to take the land of Israel. All the rabbis, universally, as I mentioned, all stood up in opposition, and they said, this is blasphemous. There's nothing to do with physical weakness, and you just want to totally transform Judaism into materialism, into nationalism. This is your concept because he abhorred religion. This is totally wrong. So they stood up in opposition to this. But unfortunately, time doesn't allow me now. You'll study it, you'll see later. If you look at our site, you'll hear maybe further that these Zionists, they didn't want to listen to the rabbis, and they conned the non-Jews and Jews together into accepting what they had to say. They told the non-Jews, they waved the Bible. You see, God gave the Jews the land. They knew that most of the world is not going to know the prophecies that were forbidden to have the land, and they're not going to look and see, look, how come all the Jews for so many generations didn't go up and do this? They were great leaders of Judaism. Why didn't they do this? Nobody's going to ask too many questions, and they'll accept that because they read the Bible and say, yeah, yeah, the land of Israel, Jewish state, and they'll accept it. So that's how they con the non-Jews and the ignorant masses of Jews, because unfortunately, most Jews are not even religious, unfortunately. And that's how they were able to fool the Jews. And then they went, after the creation, I'm going to have to really cut down on everything, unfortunately. They created the state. Again, I'm going to tell you, we have a letter that I wanted to read to you, but I'm not even going to have time for that. The Chief Rabbi Duchinsky, in 1947, it's in the UN documents, we have it here, that he sent a letter to the United Nations, he pleaded with them, he said, I am the Chief Rabbi of Jerusalem. And the United Nations sent a delegation to ask the communities if they want to join the State of Israel. Obviously, the Christians and the Muslims, I mean, I have to tell you, didn't want it. The Jewish population didn't want it. The Orthodox community that were living there for hundreds of years, they were the population. By World War I, they were the vast majority, only 5% were not, and I have the documentation for that. By 1947, he sent this letter to the United Nations after he saw that it was imminent that they're going to create the state, because the United Nations totally ignored the Jewish inhabitants, and they turned, because the Zionists had the ear of the leaders of Western civilization, because they were from Europe, and they became the ipso facto representatives of Judaism, the Zionists, the leaders of Zionism. So the Zionists, so the chief rabbi of Jerusalem said, I'm begging you, he sent this letter to the United Nations, he said, Rabbi Dushinsky, he said, I'm sending you this letter, I'm begging with you, leave Jerusalem to be an international zone, we don't want to be under this Jewish state. And you'll see a picture of this rabbi, you would see it with a long beard, a holy man, he said, I have 60,000 people under me, I have the letter here, we do not want to be under the Jewish state. He didn't even know they were going to call it the State of Israel, the Jewish state. If it's so holy and precious for the Jews, why didn't he want to be under Jews? He didn't know that there's going to be opposition by the Palestinians. That's the sad history. Afterwards, again, there's no time, but you look at our site, you'll see there's hundreds of thousands of people, you can't see from there, you'll see in this book, I have other books here, hundreds of thousands of people worldwide who continue to today do not accept this Zionism. They know it's blasphemous, it's taking God, it's saying that God is not with us, and that God, we don't have to listen, we're ignoring God's commands, and hundreds of thousands are still loyal to the Torah. We have a rule that it says, my mom says, Echad Hayavram, Abraham was one. He went against the whole world and accepted there is one God in the world. You know, my mom always tells us, even if you run, go with the truth.
Rabbi, why, that seems a good place for you to pause, if I may say so.
Let me just, I'll finish.
Must request you 1 minute, because we have two other speakers, and we do want you to engage with questions from the floor.
Okay. Basically, if even nobody would accept, but this is Judaism, there is no other Judaism, even if everybody, God forbid, would turn away. We happen to have, thank God, hundreds of thousands of people worldwide who are intimidated. We can show you that, you can see on our site, people being beaten. Therefore, they're afraid to stand up against us. And there's many who do stand up, and the media is intimidated, they don't show you. So we continually, throughout the world, many large Jewish communities, we pray for the speedy and peaceful dismantlement. We urge you to do the same. Differentiate between Judaism and Zionism. You shouldn't be accused of being anti-Semitic. And record the history. Write that everybody should know that we live together totally in peace, and it's only Zionism misconstrued, that you shouldn't be considered barbarians. Let us all pray for the speedy and peaceful dismantlement of the state, and let us all pray for the day when God's name will be revealed throughout the world and we can all serve Him together in harmony.
I think you scored a penalty, Rabbi. Thank you.